But when the $180 came in, there was somebody in Edina here, came into the bar and says, well, I sold my land for $180. This was, I don't know when, years ago. But that's about what will happen. Because this, to the way I look at it, is to the state and the federal government's benefit that the corporations go like they are now, so they'll get the land back. So it's to the states and the federal government's interest that the corporations fail. So they just gave them the money there, and they just picked up the guys on the streets and put them up there directing these millions of dollars being spent, and most of them board of directors on there couldn't make a pimple on the board of directors ass, you know. But that's what we have there. And it seemed like we have no control there. It should have been the federal government should have set something up. You have to qualify for that position on the board before you can run for it. It's like politics. You get the votes, you get in there. And we got school teachers in there now, and bank tellers, you know, and a few miners. All these people have worked for the federal government now or in the past at work, and they carry a certain amount of that in the corporation with them. And the federal government, the state government, there's no end to the money, just blow it in, you know. And they carry that into the corporation with them, and that's why the majority of the corporations now have lost money. Calista, Sea Alaska, Doyon, a few corporations down in Yukon are broke now. But all these directors that's in there, they all worked for the federal government at one time, or the state government.
What, Mr. Dementiev, if in 1991 Native people are free to sell their shares to anybody, what do you think will happen? Will they sell their shares? Will they hang on to them? Thought about that?
I don't know. I thought a lot about it, you know, but the only way we're going to make any money off that shares is we're going to have to buy some more. The 100 shares that we all have, even corporation decides, they say, pay a $30 dividend or a 30% dividend a year or something. That's nothing. You're going to have to own some more shares, you know, of that corporation before you can make money on the corporation. Even though the corporation makes millions, the little guys only get that little bit because he only got the little bit shares. He's going to have to either acquire more or else sell his in order to. But it's going to have to be set up to where it's going to have to still be Native control. It cannot go no other way. It cannot go back to the white man. They need this land. They have to have this land. The land is a wealth, and it's, without that, well, there'd be nothing. It'd be all gone. But I don't know. They must be working on a solution of some kind, but it cannot go back that way. It has to stay as a Native control. By that time, 1991, we should have some smart people up there that'll, hopefully. We have not, that's not to say we have not smart people now, but most of the Native corporations, I think, now are looking for some kind of leadership where they lack the leadership in, a man is expert in his culture. The Athabascan culture, like Doyon, is expert in his culture and also expert in Western ways, where he can run the corporation and compete with along with white man and still go out there and hunt muskrats and eat muskrats, you know.
That's asking.
I think that's the kind of leadership they have to have. They're looking for that, I think. We have some now in Alaska, but we lost them. We let them go. But to me, we had that Alaska right there, and we let it go. I can't see how our leaders accepted what they did. To me, that settlement is so unfair. I'm not resentment against it, because I think I've given up the ways a long time ago. But Okay?
Okay, thank you, sir. Thank you very much.
I'm at large, shareholder. I don't belong to this. But we got our record up there before 1960. To be part of the years with the University of Alaska. And we was asked all the questions this was talking to you about. That is, we talk about ourselves. And that should be looked at. The 44 million acres, the 44 million acres that they need a spruce to God, there's a 42 small at large group like me. And only one got that. So they really, the people that live out away from the villages, my wife's people came from Blue Lick and Sumana, and that's why I took that. And now we can't get the land, so we never got enough 44 million acres. What I think, what we said, what I thought during that year that I work on it is that shareholders will control their land and their money. I guess in Indiana, they got a big population. A lot of natives here belong to this Indiana. They don't live here, they live in Fairbanks, they live outside, they live all over, but they enroll in this. And how much money came into their village and what's left of it should be looked at very close by the shareholders. And we also said, that's before this land claim ever passed 1971, when we was talking over this, I always said that it should be kept, good books should be kept so that the money will be keep track of. And I believe that a lot of the people that run the corporations use that money for themselves. So I also came out when I was down at Anchorage this winter through the Thunder Times that you people will have to talk for yourself. There's nobody going to talk for you. From now on, your children's children has got to live here. Whether they got land claim, they got land or nothing. If we got nothing, it'll be still worse because the government didn't intend for you to have nothing. But I believe that if you talk for yourself, this is a professor, this is a lawyer, this is a jurist. And he done a lot of work for the natives all over the world, not only here in Alaska, but we've got the same kind of people all over the world. So I want you to come here. I've seen a lot of shareholders down here at the church that were long ago. I don't know how long he'll be here, but I want you to tell him you're part of anything that you could think of about yourself and about your future children. Well, thank you, Tom.
Thank you, Mr. Starr. Thank you.
I'm Gilbert Kessler, Nenana. Belong to Targetila Corporation, and I'm on the board. And I don't like the concept of corporations. Like, I know that a lot of them don't understand it. I don't understand all of it myself. Like, a lot of them said my land, but all they own is shares in a corporation, and they can be arrested for trespassing if the management seems fit, I suppose, but it isn't done. Our corporation is kind of in a situation where it could go either way, I guess. If it's, they were like Doyon, we had four, I guess we done. Since they're going great guns still, the money quit coming in. They said they gave a $100 dividend, but in the corporate law, I guess I understand that it says you only pay dividends from profit. And I think what this corporation here said, that contributed capital, they considered that profit, the money they was getting from Anska, they used that, and maybe a little legal to get a dividend at that time, but I think there was a little political reason they done it. They tried to forestall a shake-up, I guess. And they said there was some criminal activity in these corporations, but it's, I don't really can't see it real criminal activity if you, unless you call giving yourself over $100,000 salary for losing all the shareholders' money. And I really don't know what the answer is, but we might have been better off if they'd, one guy told me that if this village corporation right here would have invested their money instead of trying to go into business, that they would probably be getting about $1,000 a month, which was about 2-3 years ago. But it was late in the game then because all the money was gone. But maybe if the whole $900 million was put in a fund and paid dividends off of, but the land, I don't know whether it, I don't know what the answer to how to distribute land. I'd like to see the shareholders get land. Once you distribute the land, there's no more the whole base of the Indian culture, I think it was, is gone then. I mean, they're all, it'll be sold. Some people will probably hang on to it. But you, I don't know how they could distribute it all, even that. Right now, we can distribute land under the D2 legislation, which is an acre and a half home sites, which I'm all in favor of, but any more, all it takes is one shareholder to throw a lawsuit in there. And of course, then all our money would go to lawyers again. I know when we went down to the university to the symposium, the professors there had a different name for the land claims, but they said it was a relief act for attorneys and probably consultants. But our corporation here is doing in the same boat. We owe probably $500,000 to the banks. And we've got to be real careful now. And it's a real hassle to run, because of all the, everybody wants money, land, we're in a bad situation being right in a city. I guess it's a home rule charter now, whether it's instead of a first class, but we don't have any lands within the city itself. We're in pretty much of a hassle with the state city over 3E lands. Of course, they want it all. I don't like the concept of being taxed. I don't think we should be, the land should have been able to tax, or we can lose it by taxation. And then, of course, we use it for collateral. We'd have a good chance of losing it again, because this corporation, if they had one more HUD housing contract, and we'd been done for.
If they'd what?
If we had one more HUD housing contract, this corporation would be in down the tube.
You were losing money on them?
Oh, yes. They probably lost a good portion of our bank loans. Now, they claim they made a profit. But when we still owe the bank at least $300,000 on that HUD housing, that I can't see you could call profit. Yeah, they figured some of them, our members, figured that bid on contracts, and if we were awarded the contracts, I guess they figured it automatically would give us a profit, I guess. But that's why we're in the situation we are now, is going into business. We're in an unfortunate situation here, being next to a railroad and highway. We've had one of the larger sales in the interior on timber, and we've got nothing to show for it but the land that's stripped, no more.
When trees. Was the timber sold?
79, I believe.
And do you remember how much money was received for it?
No, I'm not. Mm-hmm. I don't know what we don't have anything to show for it, because there was a timber consultant in Anchorage, and I was talking with him, and he says the export company that bought the timber probably made out about 150% on the, it was all due to the scaling method. I think nobody probably didn't know what they were doing when they signed the contract with the scaling method that they had at that time. Yeah, we've got, and it being, well, that's all, the only one of the ways to make money was to sell that timber, but it's pretty well all wiped out, I mean, in this one area. And that's why I said we should, I'm in full agreement that we should have the subsurface rights.
Sand, the village should have subsurface rights.
Maybe I would be willing to go along that the regional get the oil, gas, and the metallic minerals, but the village should have all the right to the sand, gravel, the rock. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we are. So again, we had some of our leaders had good intentions at the first, but many of them went sour or something. I don't know. They got selfish. Yeah, there was the ones that appeared smart talked the fastest. And when you look at the paperwork, it is, there was a lot of stupid business transactions. So what, I don't really know all the answers, but I sure hope the shareholder comes out some way or another. I don't know, with hopefully somebody sees fit push through some different, amend the Lands Act some way or another. Maybe say something a little later if I think of it, but I'll...
Thank you, Mr. Kessler.
I'm Mary Big Joe from here in Enana, and I did testify in Fairbanks, mostly on behalf of the older people, what they have gotten from the land claims, which was nothing. Now, you people are sitting here. You're listening. Why don't you get up and talk? Now is the time to talk. Don't wait till it's over and then say, oh, they should have said this or should have said that, because one person can't remember to say all these things. Get up and talk. Don't be afraid to. Because there's been so much inner turmoil in our corporation, which there is no sense to whatsoever. Get up and say what you don't like and what you like about it. Don't sit there like a bump on a log. Get up and fight for what you need or what you want. You can't expect people to come and say, here, this is yours, take it. If that's what you're waiting for, you'll get nothing. Get up and talk, you people. Don't be afraid to talk. Let them know how you feel about the land claims. Not only about our corporation, about the whole thing, the whole land claims, everything. They say that the directors are making money off of the corporation. I haven't made any money. That's for sure. I made two phone calls to the corporation one time. I went up there and I paid for those two phone calls. I'm making sure nobody says that I'm making money. Now you people get up and you talk. Don't just sit there. Let them know how you feel. That's what he's here for. Maybe some good will come out of this. You people have been too quiet. You're not saying nothing for what you want. There's a few of you that will, but not very many of you. And that's all I've got to say.
Thank you, ma'am.
Thank you.
problem.
Well, after that, I'd be scared not to talk.
Well, I've been trying to write a paper so I could turn it in for the last 10 days, but I can't seem to get all the thoughts together in chronological order, and so I guess I'll just go off the cuff like everybody else.
Could we have your name for the record?
My name is Lena Dewey, and I'm a member of Togatilli Corporation and Doyon. I was born and raised here in Nenana, and when I graduated from high school, I went to the university and more or less have spent the rest of my life away from Nenana until Winnie politely told me one day, "It's your corporation to get your butt to the meeting." So here I am, 3 years later. I think what the first thing when I started trying to write a paper on the complaints of the ANSCA law, I went to the encyclopedia. You can't find corporation in the encyclopedia. You find corporate status. Corporate status was started in the European area by the fascists and by the Italian fascists, where it was a means of controlling people, controlling their thoughts. And I think that's what we're all a little bit disappointed in the ANSCA law, because that is the purpose behind the law. They control the land by the corporation. They control the people and what they can do, because you can only do so much with your money, and you can only do so much with a board of directors. If you don't have continuity through your board of directors, your ideas fall by the wayside. Sometimes I feel, what would it have been had they taken that $962.5 million? And at that time, they had about 76,500 shareholders, native people, in the state of Alaska. And if you divide that amount of money by those 76,500 shareholders, you would have come up with a figure of about $12,581.
For each person?
For each person. Now, if they had deposited that money in TCDs, just like the corporations are doing, we're talking about an interest rate that went from 9 to 14 to 18.78, I think, at one time in the past. In 1980, it was up to the 18% in 81. If they had deposited that money into individual accounts for each native person and said, you can't touch that until it becomes $200,000, $250,000, in today's, if they deposited that money, today it would be well worth over $300,000, $40,000 or something like that. And that's considering just a continuous 9% figure. And we're talking about double the interest rate on that amount of money. If in the ANSCA law they had written that they would give everybody this money, they deposited in a private account, and it would have to get to so much money before you could start drawing the interest off of that, you know, the accumulated yearly interest. In other words, write every shareholder a check for every 6 months. Small when I was in the first 6 grades or so. He'd say, if that teacher wants to know who you are, you just tell him that one set of grandparents met the other set of grandparents at the Plymouth Rock. The federal government has constantly worked their laws from that time with the idea of assimilating the Indian people into the white culture. They sent the churches to do that. There we go back to the method of control again. All their public laws that pertain to Indian people have been based on the idea of assimilation. I can't remember what the public law, when they went further out west, there was the plan to for the reservations. And they put Indian people on certain 160 acres, but they also let the white man in there, so which was the idea of assimilating making the Indian people go leave their own cultural ideas and their way of life, trying to assimilate it. Well, we found out through history that because of that law, you have a lot of your reservations that are owned by the white, and they aren't a true Indian reservation. In fact, Mr. Berger, I think I'm going to leave you a copy of this paper that I presented to our land managers meeting a week or 10 days ago, which goes through all the laws, and it was supposed to be a paper compiled on what is an Indian tribe, what is Indian country, and the various methods that the government has used, like the native allotments, and I didn't think I was going to get so carried away, but I ended up with 5 legal typewritten sheets. But I found that everybody was quite interested in it, and maybe that paper also gives the background on certain federal laws on not only the assimilation of the Indian into the white world, but the reasons for all of the various laws and the background of the IRA. We hear a lot about IRA now, and the people are clutching because they know that the corporation status, the ANSCA law, is not doing what it really is supposed to be doing, because the money is not filtering down to the average shareholder. I myself don't feel like the IRA is going to do any different, because you'll go through history and the federal laws. At one time, there were over 400 IRA or reservation status Indian groups in the United States, in the lower 48.
And over the course of the years, particularly during the 50s and the 60s, between 1950 and 1970, the federal government has gone in and said, you're not qualified to be recognized as an Indian reservation any longer because of their laws and rules previously that said the white man could also own property on the reservation. So what happened? The white man ends up owning 3/4 of the reservation, and the Indians are outnumbered, so they consider they're not qualified to hold the IRA status. And I think there has to be a lot of deep thought in IRA consideration, because the federal government, in all its knowledge and what's better for the Indian people or any people, whether it's in El Salvador or whether it's in the middle of Alaska, the Congress can decide with a flick of their finger that you don't qualify for IRA status anymore. So that doesn't seem to be a solution to the problem. I don't know what to do about the land. I really, like Gilbert mentioned, I sit on the board, and I have really become involved in the last 3 years. People want some of their land. Some of them want all of it. But they don't realize that they're putting the board of directors in a position where they're leaving them subject to suit. I don't have very much. My husband's been sick for the last 20 years. So what we have is what I've managed to work at. And I retired from DOT, from the State Division of Transportation. And we're still building on our house, but of course we just laugh when people say, well, you haven't finished your house yet. And I said, no, that's what's keeping us alive. We add a piece now and then. But we'd like to have it finished too, just like anybody else. But I'm not going to drive myself into the ground to have it finished. But for, like I say, I've struggled for that house. And I, as a board member, don't feel like I want to make a decision unless it's a legal decision. And I sometimes wonder why, because they had the native allotment as such, and which gives the native people a protection that they don't have to pay taxes on that native allotment, can't we legally, through the ANSCA law, instead of the lousy acre and a half that everybody is going to be stumbling over each other, and it's going to take so much money to survey, so much money to plan, you have to build roads. If some kind of a mechanism could be set up so that we could distribute maybe 160 acres in a certain area or a certain portion of our land in the villages. And if they would make it an illegal native allotment type thing with where you would have no tax responsibility, maybe that might be a solution to get some of the land into the hands of the people. of course, you could put on it, which the federal government will do anyway, if it's sold, then it's taxable, which is no more than right. If it's not held by a native person, we have so many ways of losing that land. We could lose it through debt. We could lose it through adverse possession, somebody going out there and just living on it. And if they live out there on the land for 7 years, they can go to court and say, well, hey, that land is mine. You didn't say that I couldn't live on it. There's a lot of this land that we can't, you more or less would have to patrol. And if the state increases, if the gas line goes through, you're seeing an upsurge in population now, that there's more pressure going to be bear on the native lands. And we see the pressure too. I think everybody has read the paper last week where Bob Bettesworth, one of our legislators from Fairbanks, has made a remark that he doesn't want the Indian people to have sovereignty. In other words, we're there, the state is admitting in their own, because he's so upset about it, they're admitting that we're dealing with the federal government as a government, as an entity. We're dealing with state government as an entity. And whereas the corporation here are dealing with a city entity, as Gilbert said, we own no holdings in the city of Nenana anymore. Yet we're a native village under the ANSCA law. And then, like I said, they're saying that they don't want a native government. In other words, they don't want the natives to control themselves. They don't want the natives to have their own control. That is true. With one of the laws that I state in the paper there that had to do with the federal government is shirking its responsibility to the native people by passing it down and saying, hey, Mr. State, you take the responsibility. They're your people. And yet the state wants to control. They don't want to give up that sovereign right that the Indian nation may have. Then I believe he made another remark. He was on the front page again the following day or the day after. Mr. Bettesworth complained about Native people being allowed. Was the state making a habit of just letting Native people in? They had let in 39 within so many months. They didn't say anything about how many. It would be interesting if they'd put in all these stupid articles that they write and contradict against the Native people, that they don't state how many residents are white already. Maybe 39 was to bring the quota up, but they don't state that in their article. They just leave people. I find that the media is so detrimental to a lot of the native causes that it's, but of course, it's Republican. And I think that's where a lot of the problems arise, because you have a lot of the white community against anything that's native because of the native land claims, because they thought we got so much. But and I think in that respect, it's affected the corporations. Because it's an Indian business and it's a corporate business, it gives everybody in the world, whether it's white, black, Chinese, Japanese, whoever, people, purple people eater maybe even. But they have, it seems to give them the right to steal from the corporation in any which way, and it's legal. Can't think of anything else. Oh, that comes down to one of the letters I thought you'd get a big kick out of. That was sent by somebody from the Latter-day Church of Jesus Christ and the Latter-day Saints. It was sent to the Native Corporation at the Fairbanks box number, which is our box number. They don't even put down Togatili. But they say, don't worry about the silly Togatili Native Corporation. Worry about heaven or hell. Worry about saving your soul. Native corporations are sinful. God wants you to sell your shares. Get rid of sin. Give your money to the church. That's the attitude. Even the churches can't stay out of it. They want their finger in the pie. And God knows what the poor board of directors have to go through when you get that type of an attitude.
It also says, read the Bible. Jesus Christ is white. God is white.
Yes.
Jesus said as well.
So maybe you could.
I don't know.
Oh, dear. Let me see if I have something else here. I think I've gone pretty well over what I had. I think too in the Ansgar Law there was a lot of discrepancy in who was to be the rules of the enrollment. This was done in a haphazard overnight scheme, more or less. There were two or three days set up. There wasn't any preliminary information that was given to the shareholders. And one of the questions that asked you where you were born, another question asked you where you lived in December of 1971, and so you had the right to sign back to the village. You had the right to sign at large, but that wasn't explained. It didn't say that if you're a shareholder, a qualified shareholder, if you lived in Fairbanks, that you should sign in at large. No, they couldn't do that because they wouldn't have any money, I presume, to operate a village corporation. So they had to have some control in that respect. I don't know how they decided that people were eligible. I know of one of the girls that was born and raised here in Nenana during the time I was. Her sister was allowed into the corporation, but she wasn't. But they both lived stateside. The girl signed back into the village corporation, but so I don't really know the mechanism. I was too busy working as to who decided who belonged to the Native Corporation. I don't think there was really a close check on whether they were eighth or quarter, and if they were accepted in at eighth, I think it was it wasn't fair to those that were in eight. Um, I think I've just about worked through what, well, the only thing that I can say that, I think of all the villages in the Doyon region, that Nenana has a good potential. But just because you put money in a business, I think a lot of our shareholders think that, well, just because they keep hollering now, as I sit on the board and say, why don't you go into business? Go into business. You're not making any money. Well, in the corporation world, you just don't throw money out and put it in a business if you don't have any idea of getting any profit back. And I don't think that the economic picture here in Nenana, it would be a long, long term to get any money back from a corporation business if, in fact, you had to spend a lot of money on that's labor oriented. When you talk about the labor figure, then you're talking about a tax figure, a heavy federal and state corporate income tax. I think that's all that I can think of right now.
Thank you, Dewey. Well, this paper that you did will be marked and become part of the permanent record of the commission. Thank you. And this letter, I think, will just put it into the category of pornography and ignore it.
My name is Winnie Atwood, and I'm on the board of Togochili Corporation. And I would just like to give a brief history of our Nenana people, that we are a subsistence people. We did two studies in the Nenana area on subsistence. And people think that because we do that we are close to Fairbanks, that we don't do subsistence. But studies that we did show that we are subsistence people. What I don't like about the land claims is the clause that says that we have to give 1,280 acres to the city for city expansion or a primary place of business. I don't like this because at acreage, we are not compensated in any way by this acreage that we do have to give up. It's just gone. I think that we had a meeting in Anchorage on the 3E lands. They did a brief study, and it's something like, if we gave up all our dock areas or 3E lands, it would be something like $264 million of revenue property that the natives would be giving up, just, and that's not all of them. The study still isn't finished. And we have, I think the problem in Nenana is that a lot of the people we've put it in our newsletter of what we're trying to do. And when the railroad situation came along, we thought that we were going to get the land. So they put one rules out saying, you have to meet with the city. So we met with the city. Then they came down with another law saying that you have so much time. Then they changed it again. And in the meantime, all of this is costing us money. So now the negotiation stops and the city turns around and gets the grant from the state, which we're objecting to strongly. And I don't think it's fair that the state should take this side of the city when we're all paying taxes to the state. And the other thing that is, like one of the other people mentioned, is our subsistence. I think it was Hank. If we go in and try to make money with our timber, we're going to have to go in to subsistent lands that the people hunt and trap on. So they're right there. I don't think that the law should have been written like that, because the subsistence areas we have, some of them are is what we have our timber on. And the other problem we have is with access. We have some river on the wood, land on the Wood River, and the state comes in and says, we want a campsite on there. Well, there's federal land right across the river. So we wrote and objected. We said we don't want a campsite on our land because of forest fire. Well, they come back and says, well, we can't convey any land to you until you sign it, so now it's on appeal again. And there's the other thing that I think that Lena had touched on, that I have grandchildren that are only an eighth Native, and at the time I didn't know, but if I would have came to the Native Council, they could have adopted my children into the tribe, but I wasn't informed of that, so therefore I have grandchildren that are eight that aren't qualified. And the other thing I object to is after 1971, the afterborn children, you cannot say that they're not Indian anymore. They are Indian. That's their right, and they were born into that world. Like somebody said the other day, we had all the years we've been here for thousands of years, and then they put a 20-year limit on us and saying you got to change your culture, you have to change everything. And I just don't think it's enough time. We should have 50 or 100 years. I think now that the Native corporations are finally getting to understand what's really going on. The only thing that so many don't understand is about the land, why they don't have any land. And I think it's already been explained three times already that about the land distribution. There's a lot of options on land distribution. Up in Kotzebue, they have a subsistence campsite of, I think it's 200 or 275 acres that they set aside just for subsistence users. And that's where the people can go set up their tents and have a certain area. Some other villages have took the option of setting up a whole new village. And let's see. The conveyance and the survey on our lands, it'll take till we did a figure at a land meeting, it would take up to like something 2048 before BLM can get around to surveying all the land, all the Native lands. And it would cost $268 million just to start the survey and do, that isn't including all of the lands. And then the other problem is, as a land is conveyed, of which we already have one access, there'll be other people wanting to go across. You're going to have to, we have a 500 right-of-way right down here crossing to the agriculture land. So that's 500 feet on each side of the road that we're going to have to give up, that it's just in the law that it's that way. So that's acreage that we're not going to be able to control. I can't think anymore. I knew there were several other things I wanted to talk about. I think with the board of directors, we have set up a corporate policy on how to run the corporation in a legal manner, and we've got a budget worked out that we're working on now. One thing that I think that really concerns me is the old people that they're not getting anything out of the land claims. We started, when I got in office, when somebody would pass away, we'd donate $200 to the potlatches for funerals. Well, everybody got up in the air and say, what are you doing giving away my money? I don't believe you should be giving it away. So we had a board of directors meeting, and we passed a resolution or a motion, I don't remember which it was. So now we donate $500 to each family who has lost a person. But that still isn't enough. They don't see nothing while they're alive. It's too bad that they have to wait until after they pass away and then get something. But I think that the shareholders should be entitled to land. We voted on it twice, and it was voted down twice. But like Lena and some other people say, if we do, the board directors do decide to give a land distribution, then what's going to happen to that one shareholder who thinks that they don't, that we shouldn't be given a land distribution? One reason that I'm opposed to giving the city the 1,280 acres is that at one time this was a big Indian village. There were five different tribes of people that lived here in Nenana. And when the missionaries came, before the missionaries came, the Athabascan people used to burn their dead. So the missionaries came and they made us start burying our dead over here on the hill. So then the railroad came along, went through the graveyard, and there wasn't too much objection. Some of the people moved away, and now they're coming back again, and they're taking the land away from us for a second time. And this is one of the things that I'm objecting to. The other thing is that I don't think that the city of Nenana should be called a city and a village for two. I know it's stated in the Claims Act as it's listed as a village. Well, we don't have a village. And I think that's one thing that should be changed in there, because we aren't a village.